Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to see all the body of Christ. I am a part of the Greater Grace family. Amen. So we are praying for all the Greater Grace family here and around the world. And also, we must pray for the Pastor Brian and also Pastor Anil's mom. So praise God for this. So we will turn our Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. For love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. This verse has two parts. So I am believing God to finish only one part. This is first part is for love of money. Then after, if we love money, what will happen to us? The two parts. So because of this verse, all the above verses, if we read, that all the above verses are telling about it, how it comes. So first of all, we'll think about one part, that is, for love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. When I studied this verse 25 years back, I got a big problem. I thought it, having money is all kinds of evil. So if I given, the money in that time, if I give somebody, I would have not having some needs of spend it money. If I am not giving, so I thought it, I am loving money if I am having. This is not a mean some after some years. So I prayed a lot of this could understand to me correctly. Then God has taught me, if I am having money, that is not evil. If I needed money, that is not evil. If I am spending the money, that is not an evil. If I am loving the money, is the evil. Then I preached one church. It's so long back, 15 years ago in Ballari. One pastor and stood after service. Please, pastor, open your purse and give all the money. You are loving the money, no? I got confused to explain this verse to him. Then suddenly God given one thought. I opened my purse and I showed my all the money. This is the money. I am not going to give you, but I am showing the money to you. I explained like this. You priest, you are not loving money, no? First of all, you practice. Then I will practice, he told the pastor like that. So that pastor supposed to give money, my travel expense, from that place to my own place. So I told pastor, I am not going to give this money, I need it. But I am not loving this money, but I need it. I needed this money this time. I have to spend this money all together. I needed to travel and food, all these things. If I am giving you, I would have not having anything with me. The Bible is not saying to give money. Bible is saying don't love money. I explained like this. He thought, God, oh, correctly you explained. So all the God's people, now they are finding how evil things are coming inside of the God's people. They are finding so many reasons. Bible tells only one reason. So many reasons. People are giving so many reasons. Preachers are giving so many reasons. Don't do this, don't do that, don't sit, don't sleep. All these things. But Bible is giving the when evil comes inside of our heart and inside of God's people, only one reason, loving money. So Bible talks about it, two things lot. One is about God. Second is about money, not Satan. Jesus taught this about money is the Gospel of Matthew. He said, you cannot love both God and mammon. That is a money. You cannot serve both God and money. And you cannot love same time God and money. You cannot serve and God and money. Jesus taught this Matthew, book of the Matthew, all these things. In that verses, Jesus how taught this, no? You are having money is not that is cause you to evil, but you are loving money is a cause you to evil. That means what I needed behind that, if I craved it, if I follow that, what I want, if I want for month 1 crore rupees, God will provide. That is different. If I want 1 rupee for month, God will provide. If I want 15 lakhs, God will provide. More than that, if I want, that means if more than that I am having already, that is not a evil. I can keep it for the God's kingdom. If I am, every month, if I am wanting more than that. So many people are asking, you are serving the greater grace, how much they are giving? So many people are questioned like that. Oh, you are not coming from greater grace. So that means they are giving full money to you. I told, if your mummy is not serving the food, you are leaving your family? No. If mummy is not, your daddy is not serving you properly, not talking with you, you are away from your family? No. People are thinking about only on money, basis of money. So, the book of Timothy, all these things are taught by the Paul. So if we read the 6th verse, what it says, but godliness is contentment is the great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take nothing out of it. That means when we came mother's womb, we brought nothing. When we are going, we are not taking anything, only taking the box, that's all. That is sponsored by someone. If I am having also in the bank, I cannot make it. That has to meet someone, no? This all things of evils, that means this is not talking about the sin. See, sin is different and evil thing is different. Sin, sinful body, even though we saved, we are having sinful body. We cannot live without sinful body. But evil is difference. Evil thing is, that is entirely different. If it is Kannada, I can explain everything because I am reading every day Kannada Bible. So we should not love the money. We should not love the things. We should not love the what is not permanent. That means, oh, if you are having own house, give it to somebody. No. You must have the house. You should not love the house. You should not sponsor anybody your house, but you should not love that. Somebody is asking, there are so many people, you are not loving house, give it to me. I needed it. Every moment I need it, that's all. I am not loving. I needed to use for myself and also my family self and also others in the body of Christ and everything. This is not saying you should not use your money. This is not saying you should not need it anything. So we until death we need it. If tomorrow somebody gives 1 crore rupees, if day after tomorrow somebody is asking, are you needed money? We says yes. Because need is different. We are having until death, we are having needs. But we should not having the more than needs. That means if I needed one bike, so suddenly if I thought, oh, I needed Scorpio, that is more than need. After one Scorpio, if I needed one helicopter, that is a more than needs. So many that abundant preachers and blessing pastors, that all the teachings are, they are going without the Bible. That is called a prosperity gospel. They know how the money is coming from the people. That means from the believers. If they preach us, if you are getting the blessing, you give. If you are getting the blessing, you give. If you want more money and if you want to be rich, you give. Jesus never taught like that, and apostles also. When the book of Acts, we go to the chapter 3rd, and they went, and Peter and John, they went in the temple. We are not going in that. One lame man was sitting there. He's watching them. They are saying, we are not having silver and gold. Silver and gold means money. We are not having anything to give. We are having one thing to give. That is the name of Jesus. That is enough for you. If I am giving also money, you will not going to heal. You will not going to get up. If I am giving Jesus, you will forever be healed. In those days also, they are not focused about the money. They are focused only God's kingdom, God's word and everything. When we are coming to focus what is our salary, what is our income, we should get that least, because of we are having so much lead, we should calculate. That is not a wrong. Above that, all things are coming. So our want is different, our need is different. See, if I going showroom the Woodland, I want all the shoes. Every day I want one shoe wear. So if I am buying all the shoes, keeping in my home, only I am wearing one type of shoe for a day. That's all. Not wearing 10 types of shoe. So need is different, want is different. I can want anything, but need is different. God is always looking our needs, not our wants. When wants is coming, that is getting and growing. I am believing that wants are growing, that will becoming the evil. When wants are coming inside, more than our needs, God has provided all our needs. God will bless all our needs because He is not giving any lack. But He is not going to provide more than that needs. If we provide us also, we have to ask them. So this verse is telling that clearly. Second part is going, if we love the money, what will happen to us? Even though that the faith and proceed themselves with many griefs, and King James Version says many sorrows. After that sorrows, we are praying, God remove the sorrow. God is telling, I will remove the love of money, then sorrow will go. God bless you, the portion.
That was a good message, wasn't it? Yeah, nice. I thought of a story when Pastor Paul was speaking about the love of money. There was a man who had lots of money and he really loved money. He really loved money. And his wife loved money more than him. So he loved money, she loved money more than him. And then he was about to die. And he made a promise that when his casket is lowered into the grave, she would put all that money into it. Because he believed maybe he could use his money for afterlife. He didn't want to part with it. So he made a promise and she promised, okay, the money, don't worry. We'll make sure that the money is in the grave. So the day came where he died and he was lowered into the casket and she didn't put the money, and the one person who was aware of it asked her, like, you didn't fulfill your promise that you made to your husband. You said you will put. She said, I did fulfill my promise. In fact, what I did was I wrote a check for the whole amount and put it in the casket. So that's good, isn't it? Love of money, that is a good one. So, all right, so we'll just turn to Hebrews chapter 10. A few verses we'll read. Let's pray before that. Father, we pray you would help us tonight with the message. Just thank you for the word we heard. And thank you that you come first in our lives. You have the topmost priority because you are our life. Bless our message now, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 10, and we'll read from verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, earlier days. Does this send a signal? Call to remembrance the former days when you had just got saved, and you know, call to remembrance the time when you started off in your life of faith, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you even had compassion of me in my bonds, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the deliverance of our souls. Okay. And one more passage, that's in 2 Kings 13. This is a story about a king by name Joash. He is also known as Jehoash of the northern kingdom of Israel. And he was not a good king. In fact, the northern kingdom did not have any good kings. He did that which was evil in the sight of God. And he lived around the time, and he ruled around the time Elisha was alive. Elisha. Okay? Now, in verse 14, 2 Kings 13, verse 14. Now, Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. Meaning it's in the cal perfect tense, meaning it is like something that is seen as a whole. But an incident happened in the life of Joash, or Jehoash. He was a son of Jehoahaz, who was a son of Jehu, and Jehu was the one who completely wiped out Ahab's dynasty. Right? You know that succession, right? So, not a good king, but one particular incident happened which was commendable, and that is here. Now, here is Elisha. He is on his bed of sickness and deathbed, kind of. And Joash, the king of Israel, came out unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Okay? Now, the context is the Syrian army, or the Assyrian army, were coming to oppress Israel and to take over Samaria. He runs to the man of God. All right? At least he knows where to run to, because they were about to smite the nation. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put your hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. Look at this. So the king's hand is upon the bow. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. Okay? And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote 3 times and stopped. And the man of God was very angry with him. And he said, you should have smitten at least 5 or 6 times. Then you would have smitten Syria completely till you would have consumed them. Whereas now you shall just smite Syria but 3 times. Okay, verse 25 explains what happened. The battle happened, and Jehoash, or Joash, same person, the son of Jehoahaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Haziel, the cities which Ben-Hadad had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. 3 times did Joash, or Jehoash, beat him, and he recovered the cities of Israel. It came to pass. Now, this is a graphic picture of what is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 10, 32 to 39. And we will compare the two passages. Okay? You know, the love of God motivates us into a life of faith. It's the love of God that motivates us into a life of faith. And the life of faith is rewarded by the faithfulness of God. I'll repeat it one more time. The love of God constantly motivates us into a life of faith. And the life of faith is rewarded by the faithfulness of God. Okay? In verse 16, 2 Kings 13, 16, Elisha's hand is upon the king's hand, as the king's hand is upon the bow. That is a beautiful picture of a believer choosing a life of faith. Here is the king of Israel. He has chosen a life of faith. But the king's hand, upon king's hand, was Elisha's hand. And that is a picture of the faithfulness of God is a covering upon a life of faith. Okay, so here is the king told to do something and he really wants to act in faith. It is a life of faith. And then Elisha puts his hand upon the king's hand. A beautiful picture of, you know, when we choose a life of faith, we are never left alone. The faithfulness of God is over and superintends our life of faith. Now, faithfulness of God does not guarantee that we will choose a life of faith. Faithfulness of God does not guarantee that we will choose a life of faith. Number one. Number two, faithfulness of God does not guarantee that after we have chosen a life of faith, that we will continue in the life of faith. So there's a possibility a believer may quit, and this here we see this thing happening. But the faithfulness of God does guarantee that a life of faith will be covered and rewarded. Anytime we are living by faith before God, that life of faith will have the covering of the faithfulness of God and will be rewarded by the faithfulness of God. Is that amazing? So, all right. So, in verse 17, the windows are opened eastward, and east speaks of resurrection. It speaks about a life of faith that is aligned in the direction of our calling. The life of faith that we have chosen to live is not basically to consume, as Pastor Paul beautifully said, it's not basically to consume it upon our own lusts, but what we believe God for is actually aligned, not misaligned, but really correctly aligned in the direction of our calling. All right, so here the man of God tells him, take the arrows and smite it on the ground. What does he do? He does it three times, and then some pain came. He said, ah, and he stopped. You know, this is a picture of someone not completing its course. This is a picture of partial obedience. This is a picture of one stopping to function in faith after having started to live by faith. This is a picture of somebody quitting. It is a picture of somebody who is not pursuing a life of faith in the context of his calling. Okay? So, partial obedience only results in partial victories. Now, back to Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, now that we have, remember, these are just some applications. Hebrews chapter 10, something is spoken on the same lines by the writer of the book of Hebrews. He says in verse 32, call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. By way of encouragement, the writer reflects on those things that they have suffered because of their identification with Christ. There was a time when they started off in their life of faith, they were willing to suffer because of their identification with Christ. So to encourage them in that life of faith, he is recalling the former times where when these people were filled with a sense of passion and faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? All right, verse 33, partly while you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. They were reproached, they were persecuted. Some of them were persecuted directly, while the others suffered indirectly because of their identification with the ones who were suffering. So they ended up suffering as well. That's verse 33. And then verse 34 says, the writer himself was in prison. We don't know who it is. Name is not disclosed. You can make your guess. Throw the coin and decide who is the one. But these believers even had compassion for the writer of this book while he was in prison. And you know what happened to them? They took joyfully the spoiling of their goods, knowing in themselves that they have a better and an enduring substance. That means when they suffered persecution and started suffering loss with their material possessions, because of their faith in Christ, they responded with joy. That's amazing. what a way to recall some of the things, right? And sometimes God will bring our memory back to those days. They passed the prosperity test. They were not in the love of money, right? When their material possessions were plundered because of their faith in Jesus Christ, they said, okay, take it. It really doesn't matter. I have the altar and the tent, and I'll choose to live. They had it, and they responded with joy because they were convinced of a better and an enduring substance in heaven for them. That's phenomenal. All right? Now, it is amazing, but something happened to them. The man of God told the king, strike the arrows. Strike one, strike two, strike three, and they stopped. So now the spiritual blessings they enjoyed were actually the evidence of the genuineness of their faith. So it was not that they didn't have faith, because the evidence of their faith was very evident. I mean, their faith was very evident. Now, somewhere down the road, they stopped striking. They stopped pursuing their life of faith in the context of their calling. What was the reason? There is one beautiful reason that is mentioned here, but there can be many reasons. In fact, the dorm on Monday, we came up with I don't know how many reasons that believers can stop pursuing a life of faith in the context of the calling that they have from God. So here, now the writer of the book is exhorting them in a very interesting way based on their previous experience of walking by faith. It's an exhortation that is coming to them. So the writer of the Hebrews is saying in many ways that just as how the faithfulness of God took care of you and rewarded you in your past because you chose a life of faith, the faithfulness of God will continue to take care of you and reward you, and you will experience the faithfulness of God if you choose a life of faith in the present. So it says, therefore, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. The word cast away not, that's how it goes. The word cast away is a very strong word in the Greek, and it means to fling away. Have you like thrown something? Especially when you gather some waste and you collect it, and then you look to the right, look to the left, no one is around, and your windows are open westward, eastward, okay, whatever. You open the window and the neighbors are not there. What do you do? And it goes and falls on somebody's head, right? You know, we had this funny joke. A missionary in Calcutta, a long time back, Pastor Will, once, he was walking on a little gully in northeast, in a little gully area. And something landed on his head while he was walking. So he was wondering, what is this thing coming down his head? And he looked up, and he found out that the mother was cleaning the excreta of her child. She knew. What did she do? She flung it, and it landed on somebody's head. That's the word. Because the word cast away means to fling it as if it is of no value. This can happen. Make sure when we fling, like, you know, never cast away your boldness or your confidence. You don't have to fling it. In verse 36, like, you know, there is a time we will question our life of faith. Or we can say, a life of faith would be tried to the point where it is possible we may question what are we actually doing with our lives. Yeah, maybe the previous days of exciting, passionate, but it comes to a place where when the life of faith brings us to that narrow road in the context of our calling before God, we will be brought to this place of having to objectively think, what is really my life? What is really a life? And verse 36 makes it very clear that they did not need more faith. They already had faith. We have faith, don't we? They did not need more faith. What they needed was patience or endurance, that after having done the will of God, they might receive the promise. And the construction of that verse goes this way. They were in need of patience or endurance so that through the endurance that is produced by their faith for doing God's will, they may eventually obtain that which had been promised to them. I'll repeat that again. What they were called to realize, like in a life of faith, is not immediately realized with the promise, fulfillment of the promise. When we choose a life, and this is one reason why they struck three times and they stopped and said, okay, not completing the course, not bringing it to its fruition, because when we choose a life of faith, it is not immediately rewarded in terms of receiving the promise that we have been given by God. But when we choose a life of faith, we are brought to this place of patience being worked in us, which is produced by the life of faith. And that's how it goes here. Which is produced by the life of faith in order for doing the will of God. And when we do not see a promise coming to pass, but the life of faith is in some way having its effect, and we don't see the effect of the life of faith in terms of a promise coming to pass, but we do see the effect of a life of faith in terms of God working that patience or endurance, which is actually produced by our life of faith, produced by our faith. But that patience and endurance that is getting worked in us is for the purpose of doing God's will. So that now, having done God's will, there is the other side of the realization of a life of faith. And what is that? We realize the promise, we begin to experience that which God has promised to us. You know, many believers strike at three, like, you know, nothing is happening with my life. I've been believing God for 25 years, 24 years. Where is the promise? In Genesis 16 itself, Abraham stopped striking, because his wife gave him something else, some other job to do, right? And then God met him in Genesis 17, and he continued striking. Like, a life of faith is not immediately rewarded by the realization of God's promises in our life. A life of faith advances into the patient endurance that is worked in us, which is the fruit of the life of faith in order to do God's will. Think about that. So that now there is a result of the life of faith. And what is that? Realization of God's promise. And that's the way the author puts it here. You don't need more faith. You already have it. But don't stop at strike three. Continue on in it so that the patience that we all need in continuing to do the will of God would be worked in us, which is actually produced by your faith in this case. Now that happens, after having done the will of God, we experience the receptivity, we may experience the promise. That is why the amazing thing about faith is we just have to continue on. Just have to continue. And never stop at any cost. You know, and then it goes on to say, and then there's a quote from in verse 30, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, Habakkuk 2:4, if any man draw back, the word draw back means to shrink back. It is considered as an act of disobedience stemming out of one's rational against the life of faith. I'll repeat that again. To draw back has to do with an act of disobedience that is stemming out of one's rational against the life of faith that he once lived before God. Is that interesting? So the context here would mean this, that there were many believers, because they were being persecuted or they suffered for their faith, they left the assembling of the believers, they left the gathering of the saints in order to identify with temple services for the purpose of escaping persecution. And our author says, if you do that, that is not an act of faith. You know, the ones who draw back are the ones who lived by faith. But if the ones who lived by faith at some point in time would draw back, that means the person is not continuing in faith. You know, do we have faith? Yes, we have the mustard seed of faith, and that's enough. And life of faith is really rewarding. We are being constantly motivated into this life of faith because of God's love that is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And every time our hand is on the bow, we are guaranteed Elisha's hand is upon our hands. In other words, every time we choose to think of our relationship with God, and that's why faith is a premium with God. Every time we choose to think of our relationship with God in terms of pleasing Him by faith in what He has said, we are guaranteed that the faithfulness of God will take care of our life of faith. So if the love of God motivates us into the life, introduces us to consider a life of faith before our Creator, before the God who loves us, the faithfulness of God guarantees that our life of faith will be rewarded. It does not guarantee that we would continue on. It does not guarantee that we may even choose a life of faith. It does not guarantee that we'll continue after we have started. But it does guarantee that any time our hand is on the bow, in that sense, to obey and to continue in faith in what God has said, Elisha's hand will be upon us. Which means the hand of God's faithfulness will always be there as a covering for a life of faith. And that covering will always be witnessed as witness in terms of how God actually rewards a believer's life of faith. You know, it's a great principle. You know, it is possible for us to believe God for whatever we want. As Pastor Paul said, I have a bike, God, I believe you, and I get a Scorpio. Now, again, I believe you, God, traffic jam in Bangalore, there's a problem, so I'm believing God for a helicopter. I mean, but remember, the windows are opened eastward. So is my life of faith in the context of the calling that God has upon my life? You know, this is the amazing way to experience the faithfulness of God upon our life. He abides faithful even in our unbelief. But for a believer to actually experience the faithfulness of God upon his life means windows are opened eastward and a hand is upon the bow and we are striking the arrows and we are just not stopping. You know, life of faith is something that is never to be struck thrice, and no, partial obedience only results in partial victory or partial blessing. But we continue on. And Hebrews 10, 32 to 39, the writer is actually addressing the believers who fantastically had their hand on the bow and Elisha's hand was upon them. Windows were even opened eastward. And that is why it goes on to mention that they even let go of the spoiling of their goods because they knew and they were living a beautiful life in the context of what God had called them for, the high, holy, and heavenly calling God had upon their life. But slowly, it's like, what am I doing with my life? Who am I? Midlife crisis. Persecution is getting to be too much. I'm getting old. Whatever. And then you know something? It slowly stops. And the exhortation here is to remind them, don't stop striking the ground with the arrows. Do not cast it. Do not fling it as if it's of no value to you. It is important. Hold it, and the fact that you have that doesn't mean that you need to have more of that, but continue in what you have. We don't need more faith, but continue on in the faith that God has given, and this will be seen and the result of this would be immediately seen in God working patience in us to continue to do God's will. And it, after having done the will of God, there is the other result associated with the life of faith. We receive the promise that is promised to us. Isn't that amazing? You know, God is never a debtor to anybody. When God calls us, He does definitely has a way of actually motivating us and rewarding us. And the life of faith is motivated by the love of God, or we are motivated into the life of faith by the love of God, and we are guaranteed the reward by the faithfulness of God. Our hand is on the bow, and if we perish, we perish. It really doesn't matter. And we are told to strike, and we continue on. We continue on, and the window is opened eastward. We are called to shoot, we shoot, we are called to strike, we strike. And the life of faith is beautifully realized in terms of how God rewards the believer in his faithfulness, in terms of making him fruitful in his calling. Amen? So we'll close the message. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bless these thoughts to our hearts. And we do recognize the kind of hindrances that come where we do not regard the window that is opened eastward. And the tendency is to cast away, to fling it as if now it doesn't mean anything to me anymore. What I once held to be precious and important, maybe now doesn't, but your exhortation is, do not cast away. Because there is great recompense of reward through the faithfulness of God. Teach us in an amazing way to recognize that your hand is upon, or your faithfulness, the hand of your faithfulness is upon a life of faith constantly to cover us and to reward us. And therefore we don't need to stop. And the windows can be opened eastward, and even if it means transitions because of our calling, even if it means a measure of temporary loss, whatever, because of our calling, your faithfulness is always there to cover and to reward that life of faith. So that patience followed by the receptivity of the promise follows. And thank you for the way you honor a life of faith. You honor a life of faith. And may we not be quick to rationalize or question the life of faith because we do not see the fulfillment of a promise, but we do sense in the meantime you're working patience or endurance, which is produced by that faith for the performing or the doing of God's will, so that now after having done God's will, you reward us with the promise that you have given us. We thank you and we praise you. Thank you that teach us really in a brand new way to really understand the beauty of what it means to really please you by faith. You have given us that title deed. We have it. And teach us to continue in it. We praise you, we thank you, and we worship you. And bless the remainder of our week. Bless our pastor. Pray especially for Pastor Anil's mom for a complete recovery. The covering on each member in the body, and to think and to start and to live and to continue on in faith. For faith pleases you. Thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed.